Hello, everyone. I'm Alan Potcotter, and you're listening to Call Talk for March 6, 2024. Today's topic is replacing surveys with sediment art, what I've learned from analyzing over 29,000 calls. If you're listening live, we invite you to be part of the show and ask questions. You can do that by emailing me at calltalk@benchmarkportal.com. I want to remind everyone that all of our shows are archived and available to listen to at benchmarkportal.com any time of the day. And with that, I would like to introduce the host of the show, Bruce Belfiore.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Call Talk. As Alan just mentioned, today we'll be talking with Jeff Toyster on the topic, replacing surveys with the sentiment arc. Some managers have found that customer service surveys are just no longer effective, and the response rates are low, customers are tired of endless requests, and it's becoming more difficult to get really good, actionable data. So Jeff is going to present a new technique called sentiment analysis to us, and we're really looking forward to that. Jeff's first customer service interaction ended in a service failure, he remembers. And so he vowed to learn from that experience and has become obsessed with customer service. Today, he's ranked as one of the top 30 customer experience professionals in the world by Global Gurus. He's written 4 books, including The Service Culture Handbook, and he has more than 12,000 customer service professionals who subscribe to his Service Tip of the Week email. He also has over 3 million people who have taken his video-based training courses. So, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bruce. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
Yes, it is great to have you back. So, and I'm really excited to hear about this adventure that you've had and the number of calls that you listened to or had listened to, et cetera. And you advocate now for contact centers to get rid of customer service surveys. Tell us the background to all that and why you came to that conclusion.
I think we all realize that surveys are a problem, at least to a certain extent. And if you look at the surveys we're sending out to customers, they're disappointing us in a few areas. Our response rates are lower than we want them to be, which means we're missing out on a huge segment of our customers. Data is not very useful. We're not really generating insights to help us improve service. And customer experience takes a hit. And for me, I think that last one's the most important. We don't always realize that when you send a survey after a transaction, that is part of your customer's experience with your brand. And the last thing they've experienced with your brand is not you solving a problem or making them happy. It's you asking them to do you a favor. And every other company they do business with is doing the same thing. Do me a favor. Take 5 minutes. Take 10 minutes. Take 15 minutes. Complete our survey. Customers are annoyed. So we should stop doing that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. And actually, you know, we do surveys in the work that we do. And those surveys tend to be extremely short these days for exactly the reasons that you say. And the one metric that comes out that is usable is, you know, what is, you know, how satisfied were you on a scale of 1 to 5? But you're absolutely right in that there's more and more surveying going on and less and less, you know, adherence to that. And also, you know, people have had to design around the fact that there's a lower and lower appetite to take surveys, particularly the long surveys. So, okay, you have this idea about the sentiment arc. So tell us about the sentiment arc and how it takes the place of surveys.
To understand the sentiment arc, I think we need to take one step back and talk about sentiment analysis, which some of your listeners might be doing in contact centers now. A lot of contact center software providers, quality assurance platforms, customer experience platforms include sentiment analysis. If you're not using it, just a quick explainer, sentiment analysis takes unstructured data. So think the actual conversations you're having with customers on the phone, email, chat, any other channel, and analyzes that data to understand how the customer is feeling. So that's sentiment analysis. What the sentiment arc is, it's a way of making a calculation that helps us understand how the customer's feeling or sentiment changes throughout the interaction. So the way you calculate it is it starts at the very beginning of, let's say, a phone call. You make a determination. How is this customer feeling right now? Are they upset? Are they neutral? Or are they happy? And then at the end of the call, you make the same determination. How is the customer feeling at the end of the call? Upset, neutral, or happy? And hopefully, if an agent is doing a great job, then the customer is feeling better at the end of the call than they were at the beginning. And tracking that is the sentiment arc.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So really, it's more dynamic. It's not just one single point in time. It's not a million points all during the course of the call, but it's sort of saying, what's the sentiment coming into the call? What's that person feeling and experiencing coming into the call? And by the end of the call, which is key, how are they feeling? How are they leaving that interaction? Do I have that right?
You do. And if we think about this compared, let's say, to our surveys, one of the things that the sentiment arc does, I think, that is very helpful is it really helps you understand the contribution that the agent is making. But it still allows you to uncover other details about why the customer might be upset. So it has the advantage of not bothering a customer with the survey. We're using the data from the actual conversation to do this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to ask you actually two questions. First, what can you learn from the sentiment arc that you won't learn from a survey? But then I'd like you to get into more detail on how you measure the sentiment arc and talk a little bit about this journey that you went through with the infamous 29,000 calls. But let's take them one at a time. What can you learn from the sentiment arc that you won't learn from a survey?
Well, I think it might be easier to talk about the actual calls that we analyzed, and I'll share with you some specifics that we uncovered that you would never find in a survey. Just to step back for a moment, I partnered with a company called Balto. And for those that are unfamiliar with Balto, it's a contact center agent support software provider. And so they provide a few tools to help agents provide better customer service. One is workflow, so helping agents understand where they are in a call. And Balto has an AI-driven product or artificial intelligence-driven product that will listen to that call in real time and nudge agents in terms of the right thing to say or even surface the right knowledge management article so agents could provide the right information. It also has a quality assurance feature which analyzes the quality of the phone call in real time. And so we were able to tap into that. And Balto has some analysis tools that they were able to add to the equation. And we took over 29,000 phone calls that were made anonymous, and so we weren't sure who the customer is. All I know is a home improvement company. And we were able to analyze what happened in those phone calls. And so there were a few things that we learned I know we would never learn in a survey. And I'll give you a few of those. One, the overwhelming majority of phone calls end in neutral sentiment. And if you think about it, when you survey a customer on a survey scale of, let's say, 1 to 5, customers today are trained to give a 5 automatically unless something goes wrong. So there really isn't a difference if a customer gives a 5 between someone who is just okay and someone who is delighted. So that was the first thing we discovered, that most calls are neutral, which really makes sense if you think about it, that you step back and say, I called customer service, they solved the issue, and now I go on with my day. I'm not jumping for joy, and I'm not fuming. It's okay. I checked that off my list. So that was the first thing we discovered. The surveys are overvaluing how delighted customers are. Most customers are neutral. But we also had a better understanding of what did agents do when sentiment improved. So on 46% of the calls, sentiment improved from when it started to when it ended. And I'll add that most calls, there was no change in sentiment, more than half. Less than 1% of calls, sentiment got worse. So the agents were doing a great job. But what were they doing? Two things really jumped out. The agents who had the best improvement in sentiment asked more questions per call than agents who did not improve sentiment. So agents who improved sentiment asked three more questions per call on average than agents who did not improve sentiment. So we know they're doing a better job of listening. They're engaging more dialogue. But then here was another thing that was unexpected. Agents who increased sentiment were talking 60% of the time. Agents who did not increase sentiment were only talking 54% of the time. And actually, so that was a surprise to me that the agents who did a better job were actually spending more time talking than agents who are not improving sentiment. And if you step back for a moment, you would never notice that from a survey. But what the sentiment analysis told us really is that, you know, in the beginning of the call, the agents do a really good job of listening and getting the customer to trust them. And so they then spend the rest of the call sharing a solution and walking the customer through what they're going to do to solve it. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so we've talked about, we know what agents are really doing. We know that the sentiment arc is uncovering insights we'd never get from a survey, such as talking more. But the sentiment arc is also helping us understand call drivers. In other words, why are customers calling in the first place? And what are agents doing to make that customer happier? And so in this case, I want to pull from another, it's an anonymous company, but it's a really big company. And I talked to a leader who asked to remain anonymous, but she did the same analysis for tech support.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that she found, no big surprise, that when it comes to tech support, when they had to dispatch a technician, that was something that drove a lot of support calls, but also customers were generally unhappy with. However, using a sentiment arc, she was able to determine agents who had the best success used something called positive positioning when they set up those support calls. So the typical agent would say, well, we have to send a technician to your home, and customers don't like that. The agents who did really well, they uncovered that they would position it by saying, I really want to help you get to the bottom of this issue. I want to send one of our expert technicians to your home so that we can diagnose it for you. And it looks like I have a window tomorrow afternoon. Will that work for you? Customers were much happier with that approach. And again, you would never uncover that from a survey.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Just going back on a couple of things that you said, first of all, the difference between 60% and 54% doesn't seem that much, but tendentially it does indicate that those things that you were talking about, because it goes along with the three more questions and it goes along with the more engagement that can come out of that, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
That's the short version of that. It's telling us that granular detail that the best agents are doing something a little bit different or better than everybody else.
Right, right. And when you get into that granular detail and sort of it shows that the person really is listening, they're concentrating on you, and they're getting down to the points that are going to make a difference to you in terms of resolving the problem. Very interesting. And something that particularly on the tech support side, but also on the customer service side, extremely important. And with regard to the dispatch psychology there, I think that's fascinating. I'm sure that our listeners will be able to, you know, take that, absorb it, and figure out how to use that in their work as well. So that sounds great. So 29,000 calls basically were analyzed, and these are some of the conclusions that you came to. How can contact centers get started using the sentiment arc?
Well, I'm sure some people are listening and saying, okay, that sounds like new technology. And so the first thing I want to share everybody is you don't necessarily need to invest in new technology to do this. Really, the steps are first, identify the technology you already have. And many of the software programs that we're using in contact centers today do have a sentiment analysis capability. So if you have that, great. If you don't, that's okay, because I bet you're doing quality assurance. And so you can do this manually, not 29,000. In the pre-call, Bruce, I know you for a moment you said, did you listen to 29,000? No, I did not.
I did. Jeff, my jaw dropped, because that's what it sounded like you were saying, you know, and I said, oh my gosh, this guy is unbelievable. But yeah, please go on.
So, but you're listening, your listeners are doing quality assurance on a sample of contacts right now. What if you simply asked yourself or evaluated at the beginning of a call, is the customer calling right now, or how are they feeling? And is it upset, neutral, or happy? That's it. And then at the end of the call, just make the same determination, upset, neutral, or happy. With a little bit of calibration, you can do that with reasonable accuracy. So whatever tech you have, whether it's a lot of tech or no tech or somewhere in between, find out a tool that you have to help you analyze sentiment and then just run analysis on the beginning and the end. So that's the second step, is just run a test. Test this out, because what you will have to do is a little bit of calibration. If you are doing this by hand, then you have to make sure that whoever's doing quality assurance will listen to the same call and come to the same conclusion about the customer's upset or neutral or happy. So we need to calibrate. If you're using AI or machine learning, then you want to calibrate that so that it's understanding the right words and phrases, and they're accurate or reasonably accurate in terms of assessing sentiment. And once you're able to do that, then you can run the calculation. And how you run it, again, depends on the tech you're using. If you have the right software, you can do this in real time. You might have to run it in batches. Or, again, if you're not using software at all, you can just do this in line with your existing quality assurance process. So I think it's fairly straightforward to implement this and use whatever technology you have available.
Right. No, that's really, really interesting, because in many cases, I think people feel like they're being pushed into a technology, maybe a technology that they don't even need at this point. But what you're saying is, no, you can basically enter into this mentality. You can enter into the, you can learn from the lessons that you, Jeff Toyster, have gotten from this experience at whatever level of technology you're at. And one of the things that occurs to me, too, is that having done that, let's say that you don't have a lot of technology now, and so you do what I would call an analog implementation,
right,
which is
right,
manual implementation, right? And then you're able to get a couple of wins out of it, and particularly if you have a certain amount of volume, you can then imagine, okay, and even more than imagine, you can pretty much predict that you'll get more benefit if you have more technology. At that point, then, if you want to, you can see the value in it. You'll have something to show your senior management that would indicate that it's worth it to invest in the additional technology. That is, this is what we got in terms of implementation on a manual level, and this is what we saved, because oftentimes there's savings to come with it, or there's additional sales to come with it. Or in the case of these folks, you know, going out for calls for tech support purposes, you know, there's costs to that too. And you can put all that together and come up with a business plan, which may convince you, and then once it convinces you, can convince your seniors that it's worth it to take the next step. Is that something that makes sense to you, Jeff?
It does. In fact, I was talking to a contact center leader about this very topic recently, and often what it comes down to is, even before you get the technology, you often have to invest in headcount, whether it's full-time or diverting an existing employee to spend some time on something like this. And so you do have to justify that expense. And you're absolutely right, Bruce, that if you can demonstrate business impact, then it's much easier. And I'll give you an example of the analog way of doing this. many, many years ago, I worked for a company where our contact center agents were expected to pitch customers the company credit card in the midst of taking an order. And we did really, really poorly. We were hoping to get to 20%, and we were around 5%. And so why was that? Well, all I did, it was an early version of the sentiment arc. I looked at the reporting, and I found this one agent, Betty, who was crushing it. 40% of her customers were accepting the credit card. And so I went and I listened to Betty's calls, and I talked to Betty, and I found out what she was doing. And then I went and talked to some of these other agents who weren't doing so well. And I found out exactly how Betty did it, and she had a really amazing technique. That instantly solved the problem. We just trained everybody else to use Betty's technique. The second thing we did, though, is I realized a lot of people were at zero because they just never offered it. And why was that? It wasn't. It wasn't part of the quality standards, so they could skip it without penalty. So we made that change, too, and in 30 days, we got up to 20%. And that made senior management really, really happy. And, of course, this is exactly what the sentiment arc is doing for us. It's taking what data we have and finding what's working really well, what's not working really well, and solving problems quickly. And as you point out, those problems usually have a dollar sign attached to them, or they're in line with senior leaders' goals. And if we can contribute to those goals, we're getting our budget.
Right, right. Yeah, wow. And I mean, you could even end up with a system ultimately on a very sophisticated level, which is indicating where in the arc of the call you should be inserting things. And the AI would actually be giving the agent tips on when to do it, and not just whether to do it.
That's absolutely correct. In fact, there's software now that does exactly that. The Balta, who I partnered with for this analysis, their software does that by analyzing calls and helping agents decide what to say and where to say it. But agents also contribute their own best practices, so it's an iterative process. Mm-hmm. That happens if you have the right software, but again, some listeners might be saying, hey, I don't have the budget for that, so you can start with an analog version just in a team meeting to talk about how do you handle this, where do you bring this up, what works, what didn't, and now you're still doing a version of analysis to help you continue to improve your calls.
Actually, you just mentioned something that brought to mind the fact that oftentimes the team meeting is the most profitable part of the week for a lot of centers or a lot of supervisor teams, because the people who are implementing best practices and who are seeing them work are succeeding with them. But just as before with, what was her name, Betty, right?
Betty
probably wasn't sharing these things because she didn't really know. She probably didn't have a forum in which this was being discussed at the agent level and was being sort of confronted and turned over and shared. It took you guys to do that, and that was a very important thing for you to do. If, in fact, one of the things that comes through in initial training and also in team meetings is that we're all looking for best practices. And in the words of one of my colleagues, Mark Coudray, is we're always looking for a better way to do things and then share it, right? Then that can make a huge difference in terms of those who are working particularly with the analog model. And because it's in the sharing that the new ideas come out. And it's in the sharing that people also will try things, right, that they may not have even thought about before, may have been scared to do before, but then they get to see results from it, and they share those results, and the results can be positive or negative, and all that makes the process better and makes the results better over time.
You're so right about giving agents the forum to be able to do this and what that leads to, and often it comes from just looking at the data and talking to your agents and surfacing a best practice, like you said, maybe the agent doesn't realize that what they're doing is special. And I'll give you an example of this. There was a contact center where there was a new issue that was coming up. It hadn't been well documented yet, and most agents were taking 30 minutes per call on this issue. One agent found a shortcut, found a really nice way of solving it, and it only took her 5 minutes. Now,
wow.
Think about what that does to your queue, what that does to your average handle time, what that does to your service level agreements or whatever you're tracking. When most agents are taking 30 minutes to do something that should be taking five.
Mm-hmm.
And the frustration was the agent did not have the forum to share with other agents, hey, I've got this great solution.
Mm-hmm.
That is money right there that as a contact center leader, you should be on the lookout for. Who's the agent that figured out how to take the 30-minute problem and make it a 5-minute problem? That is huge.
Right, right it is. And, you know, so that, what we're talking about there gets into the human side of all this, which is a lot of communication and building culture. And it's a culture of best practices, a culture of trying things, and a culture of sharing. And that's where so much improvement ends up coming through. And I think that our listeners can really learn from that and can hopefully put that into practice. Well, you know, these are great, great insights. We're getting toward the end of our time together, Jeff, but are there any other insights that you wanted to share with us before we turn things over to Alan for finishing up?
Well, I'll share just two things, and that is, one, taking small steps is always a great way to get started. Something like the sentiment arc might be new to you, or sentiment analysis might be new to you, and I encourage you to not take my word for it, but run your own experiment and use whatever technology you have, but see if you can get to the heart of what's really driving results in your calls or other contacts. Your surveys are just not going to tell you some of these details that you can find by listening to the actual conversation. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, if people want to get a hold of me or they want to learn more about these topics or just get great content to help them continuously improve their teams, I invite you to go to toistersolutions.com/tips. That's T-O-I-S-T-E-R, solutions.com/tips. You and your entire team can sign up for free for my customer service tip of the week. It's one tip via email once per week, and I always include a link to dive deeper into a specific customer service skill. So you can use that for your team meeting and continuously work on getting better and better.
Okay, great. Those are all great tips, great insights, Jeff. So thanks for sharing those with us. And what I'd like to also mention to our listeners who are listening before May 2024 is that Jeff is going to be at our call center campus event in Austin, Texas. He's going to be one of our keynote speakers. We're very excited about that, Jeff. And so please do look up call center campus on the Benchmark Portal website, and please come and join us here. Jeff Toister speak there as well, and just meet all of us. We'd really like to have you there. So with that, I'd like to thank you, Jeff, and turn things over to Alan for closing up the call.
Thanks again to Jeff and to Bruce for your insightful discussion on today's show. Be sure to join us next month for another great show or look at our huge selection of archived shows on hot topics at benchmarkportal.com. Then click on Call Talk where you'll find over 15 seasons of this show. From all of us at Benchmark Portal, keep those headsets steady and your fingers ready. This is Alan Pockotter signing out. Have a great day.